Everybody, I'm a clock named
Ivy.
By the grace of God and flesh of you people, my sobriety birthday is 6/21/04. Woo! And, I'll tell you, I'm just a kid from Iowa. I moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin when I was 10. Coming from a small, it's kind of like a stockade city, Native American city, you know. Coming to Milwaukee was scary. You know, I came home from a school, like, the teachers actually cared, you know, and everybody, you know, was, hey, how you doing? You know, I come to Milwaukee, man. I was like, what the? You know? But my mom's family is from Milwaukee. My mom was from Wisconsin. And so I got to meet family I never met before. And the city was crazy, you know, because I ended up going from Milwaukee to living on 31st Wisconsin Avenue with my grandma in one of those HUD buildings for like the first 6 months. And it was crazy. You know, I never seen a building taller than five stories in my life until I moved. And Milwaukee was huge. And so I got to start meeting all my family and stuff, which it was huge here in Milwaukee. I got family south side of Milwaukee, north side of Milwaukee, I got family all over the city. And unfortunately, the family members that I hooked up with were not in so good of crowds. And of course, when I'm 10, I'm hanging out with 13, 14-year-old kids. Start hanging with all their friends, you know, and I'm just a hanger-on. I'm just like, whatever, you know. And so I started, believe it or not, my first drug was marijuana. I'm sure none of you guys had that problem, you know. You know, I think my first joint when I was 12 years old, and I loved it. But the first time I didn't, because I remember laying on my grandma's bed throwing up, you know, the spins and stuff, you know, and it was good stuff. And smoking pot, you know, was, you know, first 2-3 years, you know, and then of course, we find beer buying Benny in Cosby Park, you know. The guy would buy us beer at any time for another bottle, you know. Beer buying Benny, I remember to this day. And so we'd always find, you know, somebody's parents were not at home, you know. Somebody's parent, you know, we always had a place to go party, you know. And I'm not talking 3-4 of us guys. I'm talking 15 to 20 of us. And, you know, pretty large crowd. Not the type of people that you wanted to bring to your mom's house every day. Because most of the time we had a party at his house, there were walls being busted and just no respect. That's just, you know, which is sad. And alcohol. Woo, boy, marijuana, alcohol, you know, just forget all our problems, forget about how our lifestyle is. And I'm very fortunate when I came here, you know, raised from a single mom. We didn't have a lot of money. And I remember in Iowa being teased a lot, you know, because I didn't have Nike shoes or, you know, I had like 2 pairs of pants, you know, so we got made fun of because in Iowa people do tend to have money and their kids tend to have a lot of nice stuff. And I got made fun of, you know. It's kind of stupid because I was like one of the biggest kids in the class, you know. And so in the state of Iowa, remember, I was in that principal's office getting whooped by the paddle quite often because I was just an angry kid, and which I deserve, guys, you know, this whole hitting your kids, I deserve every one of them. And, I probably still do. But, I got real heavy into drinking up until I was about 16. And cocaine was introduced to me at age 16. And at first, it was just a party thing, you know? You know, we go to a party, do them up a little bit. And but at the same time, I'm on that lifestyle. I swear I would never do crack. I grew up in a crack family. It was around me all the time, the smell of it, the people at my house all the time on the table. I swore I would never do it, never touch it, never, you know, just because I saw what it did to people and my family. And so I was pretty strong-minded up there about it, yet, okay? That's a big word, yet. And so yeah, I dabbled in cocaine a little bit, you know, but the drinking was my passion. For a while. you know, again, I'm in the wrong crowd. I really don't like talking about that, you know, talking about the crowd I was around because we did a lot of rotten, dirty stuff that I'm not proud of to this day. It's very hard. My best friend was supposed to be here. I guess he made to a meeting last night, but we don't hang out, guys. We talk on the phone. I do not hang out with him. I know my limits. I know me. I know that it's no good hanging out with him until he gets right, you know. And it was kind of funny because he calls me up, you know, and he was at the Anacolas last night, and he's like, dude, your name's on a poster, man. I'm gonna frame this thing. I'm like, I love him to death. I love him to death, man. He's like one of my best friends. He's my brother, and I pray for him every day. But when you're in this program, you gotta do it. What you're told, just because it doesn't set it in the big book, like staying out of relationships for a year, or going to 60, 90 means 90. Just because it's not in that book doesn't mean you don't do it. These are things that have came along through program and time that we have learned. These, just because they're suggestions, I think they're part of recovery, guys. I don't think it's not a joke. We just had an overdose last week. That sat 21 year old girl. Tell me if I'm wrong. There are 30 deaths due to the drugs in this, 30 a month, that people don't realize it. 30 a month. Wow. To me, that's sad, And I feel like there's more that we can do. I feel like there's more that we can share, more that we can get the word out there. Because, I didn't know about Cocaine Anonymous. Everybody knows about AA. And I'm sorry, for those going NA, That's a great fellowship. It's not for me, okay? Cocaine Anonymous is where I belong, and I don't mock any fellowship, because what works, whatever it takes, do it. But anyways, get back to the getting back to the lifestyle. It's funny, most of my friends that grew up were dope dealers. It didn't cost me a lot of money, not until I started going. I'm an over the road mover. When I'm home, it was quite cheap. Yeah, I had friends that, we can go right and pull right off the block, if we wanted to. Being a mover, I like to drink. It was awesome. And I was always tired, And then I found cocaine again. Wow, I can work 12, 13, 14 hours a day and have some beer and stay awake and not feel exhausted, The next thing I know, I'm up for 2-3 straight days straight. And being very, very stupid. I'm talking, I thank God every day that I'm here, that I'm not in prison. Doing what I do for a living, I'm in a big truck. Half the time, I barely keep the truck between the lines, guys. If I would have killed a kid or something like that, guys, I wouldn't be here today, because I would have killed myself. Because due to my stupidity and my lifestyle, that was always in my head, man. And you know how we think, man. We don't care, But that would have been the one thing that would have, we shouldn't have to take that for me to wake up. Thank God it didn't. So for a long time, I used to, I know I'm jumping here a little bit, but I was introduced to recovery not from, my grandma had 35 years of Alcoholics Anonymous. So on Saturday night, she couldn't drive, of course. So I would take her to a big book meeting, and I got to meet people at the old Serenity Club on Lincoln. And they kept putting a seed in me. And they were nice people, but they're always laughing and shit. I'm like, what's so fucking weird about this? I remember sitting there at they had these two banners here, but like 10 times bigger on the wall, the Serenity Club on Lincoln. And I was sitting there, I'm like, what the? I'm reading them, I'm like, these people are fucking whack, man. part of my French, but I'm like, 12 steps, what the, 12 tradition, 12 promises, I'm sitting there, I'm like, what are these people thinking? Can't you just have a beer or And at the same time, I don't stop until there's no more money, no more, no more booze, no more, no more cocaine. When the party was done, and I used to hate it, coming out of that shit, boy, everybody was coming to get you. I wanted more, so I had that feeling gone, But it's crazy, man. Wish my brother, my youngest brother, was supposed to be here, and he got involved in heroin a long time ago, and I was always against that stuff. Like, I'm like, man, I will never put a needle in my arm. Thank God I never did. And I'm sitting here lecturing him, and in my heydays, I'm sitting there, we're one-on-one, I'm like, man, I'm just disgusted with you, And he sat there, hear what I said, and all of a sudden he starts laying into me. He goes, hey, MF. You're the first person to ever give me drugs, you dumbass. You're the first person I ever did a line with. You're the first person that ever did. I'm like, whoa, I didn't realize this. Because it was either drunk or geeked the whole, all the time. There was maybe one or two days a week where, you know, that I was okay because I was sleeping. You know, I slept a day and a half away sometimes, man. You know, I'd go sleep on a Wednesday, wake up Friday night thinking it's Thursday morning, you know, like, what the hell happened, you know? And, man, I tried recovery for my mom. I lost my mom when I was 20 years old. She had cancer, and she asked me to clean up. You know, I overdosed once when I was 17, didn't learn. Overdosed once when I was 19, didn't learn, you know? I didn't, the reason I was kind of doing, you know, stop messing with the pills and stuff back then was because of that charcoal shit is nasty, you know, and I like the booze more than anything. I sat out here, you know, at Oak County, man, you know, and I was 17, so they took me to the adults because they couldn't control me, you know, and they make you drink that charcoal and that yellow shit that makes you throw up, man. I was like, oh, my God, that is horrible. And, yeah, it was for my grandma. She found me when I was 17. Like, she found me in her bed. You know, she, my grandma had, you know, she, you know, old people, they have all these medications like galore. And I liked those painkillers, and I liked those Percocets she had. You know, it was great. And but that was just to make me feel a little better. I, you know, nowadays it's an epidemic. You know, I didn't get really hooked on them. I just liked them, and I didn't know you shouldn't take, you know, 15 of them at a time. But you know. For me, it was anything to forget about me. You know, I was, you know, I always felt like I was never good enough. I never felt like, you know, even in sports, man, I love sports. You know, being a middle-sized white guy at South Division, it was hard. I had to play twice as hard and try to be twice as fast to play football. You know, it was difficult. I made the team. I made starting. I was a linebacker, but I always had to push. For some reason, I didn't have that natural ability to be, you know, but I tried, and that's all the coach said, you know. Coach Bart was awesome. He caught me smoking weed a couple times because she would kick my ass off the team. He goes, "You're valuable." I'm like, "Whoa," you know. It was funny because one of my friends' sons just broke my sack record there. I had the sack record there, junior year, and it was kind of cool because I know the kid who broke the record. And yeah, it was cool, you know. So I'm second place now. So. But you know, my addiction even started, you know, and this is something I forgot about. I was doing steroids in high school, guys. You know, and that wasn't a big deal. It is now to me because I started thinking about it, because I wanted to be bigger and I wanted to be stronger and I wanted to make the team. I was fucking with steroids. Not the needle, but the pills, you know, and probably why I'm bald, you know. I did it for 2 years. I look at my brothers. They got full GQ hairs and all that. So, you know, I don't know, man. But you know, I think of all the stuff I put in my body. Yeah. You know, just to get high, just to feel better, just to feel like something special, something other than what I really am. And you know, the truth is today, if it wasn't how I grew up, things I went through, I wouldn't be able to appreciate nothing today. You know, and I know my mom did the best she could. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But when you grow up being made fun of a lot at certain times, it does take a toll on you. Mm-hmm. You know, it does make you feel less worth and less, you know, just total garbage inside. Mm-hmm. And today it's not like that. You guys have saved me. You know, you guys and God. And that's a fact. Because I had a real issue with God when I came in, taking my mom so young. And yeah, about a year after my mom died, I was like a year and a half. I stayed clean and sober for my mom, and then I tried it. You know, I tried it about a year after she died. Party on, guys. You know, it was like, then I really went out, and it got worse. And it's kind of funny because I never said I would smoke crack, and I always thought I was a high class guy because I would, you know, some of my friends would smoke crack, some of them wouldn't. Us cokeheads, just cokeheads don't touch crack. Look down on crackheads. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I'm at a party one night, and I'm all on cocaine, and they're doing it. Like, fuck it, let me try it. You know? Party on. Party on. Party on. You know? And, whew. You know? I didn't think I would ever say that, you know? It got me. You know? And, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, life just went, relationships, you know, my middle daughter just saw her dad just, you know, because I was really good about faking, you know, I didn't steal, I was never a thief, you know, I was never a thief. I was never, unless I was a dope dealer, of course, you know. Yeah, I could not steal. For some reason, how I was instilled inside me, man, if I didn't earn it, it's not mine. And that's even doing the drugs. And that was a good quality that was always established in me. And I can never take from you to make me feel better, you know. And that was something that I'm very, you know, pretty proud of, because, you know, I did do a lot of dirty stuff in my life. And that's one good thing. I never hit a woman. You know, those are the two things that I'm very proud of. Everything else I've done. And, yeah. I thought being a man, guys, was what kind of car you drove, how much money you had, how good you could fight, how many women you've been with. I was totally wrong until I got to this program. I learned from the old timers. I want what they have. When they can make life through deaths, through losing something major, I want what they have, because they find a solution, not a problem. You know, my sponsor, my new sponsor, Jack, is 83 years old. I learned so much from this guy, that he just teaches me how to live life, you know, because it's really easy to be clean and sober in here. And I play sheep's head with the guy, man. That's how we do the sponsor. You know, we're always an hour early, so me and him can talk and stuff. And I talked about everything. You know, my old sponsor fired me last year. A lot of people know why, and I still love the guy. He was my sponsor for a long time. You know, I always wanted to have one sponsor and only one sponsor. But unfortunately, the way things happened, it had to be separated. And I was like, fuck, man, I've never been fired in my life. You know? Believe it or not, being an addict, I've never been fired, you know? And for him, I was like, oh, that hurt. But it had to be done. And I still love him this day, man. There ain't nothing I would do for that guy. But I got to keep a distance sometimes, you know? Because it's good for me. It keeps me in here. I would not hang around unhealthy people unless it's at a table. I would not... You know, that's just where I'm at, guys. I don't have that luxury of being okay with going out, you know, hanging around using people. I don't have that luxury. Even after 8 years, I'm sorry. Because you know what, guys? I've used it one time in almost 12 years. That's why when I relapsed in Phoenix, Arizona, a one-day thing, that's all it took. And but it was the best thing I ever did, because you know what? When I did it, I came back and I put a fire in my ass just to get involved. What the hell did I do wrong? Why did I do this? You know, what was my thinking? And it was because I was going to meetings and stuff. I forgot 10 minutes that I was in recovery, that I'm an addict, that I'm an alcoholic. I don't belong around this place. You know, I show up and there's, you know, a bunch of my guys from Walker out in Phoenix, and there it is, you know? So, of course, you do one, you do two, you do three, you know? But the next day I says, you know what, man? I can't do this. I'm not going back to that lifestyle. And that's very important. Being a good father is very important to me, you know, trying to do the next right thing. You know, I got people from my company here, guys. I don't hide this. Everybody knows that I'm in recovery. I don't hide it from anybody. My customers, I do, but not, they don't even know. You know, hey, I'm a drug addict, moving your stuff. You know, but there's nothing to be ashamed of, guys. You know, I am not ashamed of being an addict or an alcoholic. I am not ashamed of it. You know, and I wish there was more passion in this stuff, because it's a lifesaver. I've seen many, many people make this, and I've seen many, many people break this. You know, when we're burying people at 21, 19, 30, or, you know, even 30 years, that's too young, man. You know, something this little and this long lose everything. You know, I've seen people... You know, lose houses, cars, wives, kids, family, everything over a little thing like this. You know, it took a lot of time for my family to actually accept me back to where I was. And that's kind of funny, because now I'm like the ambassador. You know, so. Which is a great feeling. You know, like my middle brother just got married last year, and I was his best man at his wedding. Who would have thought? You know? And my brother got married 2 years ago. I was supposed to be in his wedding. We had a little family argument, so I didn't even go. So, but that happens. Hey, life happens, guys. You know, life happens. It's nothing. Just because bad things happen doesn't give it a right for me to go out and use or drink. I lost a business. I lost a pretty well, you know, pretty good paying business. Sober, not because of using, economy went bad, bad business decisions, and that's okay. I got an opportunity now. I'm starting over, you know, which is awesome. You know, at least I'm able and have the cojones to start again, you know. But it's one day at a time. That's all I can do, you know. You know, it's good to set goals, but literally I can only do what I can do today. You know, what's that say? You know, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. And I really wish Papa was here, man. He saved my life, guys. Believe it or not, you know, when you go out west, cocaine is not that easy to find. It really not. We were in Las Vegas, and we met up with some guys that had some stuff, and no cocaine to be found, but methamphetamine? Wow. Went about a three-day binge, guys, and we're sitting in the suite. I'm in the hot tub, tweaked out of my mind, couldn't move. The water's like right here, and he pulls me out of the bathtub butt naked. You know, like another 20 seconds, I probably would have drowned because I couldn't move. I don't remember how to remember it, you know, and that's very important. Even though he's my best friend, he still saved my life, and it hurts, you know. And how would I explain that to, you know, hey, he drowned. You know. There are so many incidents, you know, that's just one, you know, and that was a big one because that's something between me and him. And you know that you know he knows where I stand with that. You know, all I can do is pray, and all I can do is be of service. But I cannot enable. I cannot. If it affects my life and my household, I gotta step back. You know, with family and friends. When it comes to us, you know, for some reason we're all addicts. I can help anybody. You know, and give them 150% what I can give. But when it's family and friends, you guys know what I mean. It's harder because. They don't want to hear me. You know, everybody's talking about, one of my good friends I've known for years. I'm a friend, you know? He's not gonna listen to me. They used to party together, you know? It's hard. All you can do is plant a seed, but you guys need to work with him. You know, I've tried family members, friends, and it's too close of a bond. And it sucks it has to be that way, but you gotta step back a bit and let other people work with him. But anyways, it took a while to get that first step for me, guys. It really did, you know, because, you know, I started partying young and got screwed up pretty young, you know, lost a lot of shit pretty young, you know, and I'm like, most of these people, when I came in, most of them were 40 and older, you know, and I was like, damn, I still got like 13, 14 years of drinking left, but, you know, going to that, you know. But it was an excuse because, you know, I should have stayed the first time I came in. I really should have, but I wasn't ready. You really got to want this. You really got to work with others. You know, as far as wars, guys, we all have the same stories, man. Some of it's funny, though. You know, I found humor in a lot of things that bother me. I find humor in it today. You know, and it's like, especially when some guys with time, we'll go out and talk about some of the dirty shit we did. Yeah, I did that too, you know. But we find the humor, even though it bothers us at first. When I did that fourth and fifth step, that took a lot of stuff away, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, and a lot of resentments. But, you know, I sponsor a few guys, and it's something that I personally found out through my experience, through program, there are two things in recovery that are very important that you got to keep up here all the time, is, you know, the number one killers of us is boredom and resentments. If we stay bored, our mind started thinking. If we're sitting home alone, you know? I did it. I've relapsed many a times, guys. You know, but people always had that door open for me, you know? And resentments. If I stay angry, I stay mad at you, there's no reason for that. And I try to make an amends as right, you know, as soon as I can. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm wrong quite often, ask Kevin. You know? But, it's okay to be wrong, and even though you don't like it, I don't like being wrong, but it happens. So I I'm trying to do more service. I just got elected H&I co-chair in Wisconsin, me and Lewis here, and I got to learn. I don't know. I've never did it before, so this is all new to me, you know, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes, you know. You know, I wish more people would step up and do some service, guys, because, you know, I was a little upset at area. You know, I'm not going to lie. When I'm gone 9-10 months of the year and I go to an area, I know 95% of the people, we are doing something wrong, you know? And SCCA going down, you know, where it should be flourishing. And I don't know what changes I can do. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And because we're here for you, you guys are here for me, that's what it's about, you know? The stuff here, this is great stuff. There ain't nothing I can't live my life off of, those 12 steps. But if I'm going to sit here and bitch about it, I'm not going to bitch about it, I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, why don't you go do this? You know, no, I'm going to go do it, you know? But I need to be guided too, because I've never been in this situation before, or this service. I'm learning. But I have to ask questions, because I'm kind of stupid, you know? There's a saying at work, can't fix stupid. That's not true. You know? I love it, you know? But if I don't learn, I'm never going to do it. You know what I'm saying? And that's where, you know, where my procrastination is not there as much. You know, I want to get involved and I want to do, because I want to see people live. Because it's about living different. My life is totally 100% turned around, you know? I take a shower every day. Sometimes three now, you know? I brush my teeth every day, you know what? And when I was younger, I remember I used to have a toothbrush in my pocket all the time because I was, you know, crackheads lose their teeth and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It wouldn't happen to me, man. I was like, you know, thank God I did that because I haven't, you know? I mean, it was just, I don't want to look like one, you know? And, you know, find humor, see? You know? I remember the first time I spoke at a CA thing, it was at the Passing On Club, right? And the podium comes up there. You guys remember that? They had mirrors. I'm like, this has got to be a Cocaine Anonymous meeting. All the tables. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not. I never used mirrors, though. But it was just funny. You know, almost every here has my phone number, guys. My phone is almost always on. If somebody's struggling, I don't care if you have 15 years or 15 days or 15 minutes, you know, I will answer the phone. And if not, I will call you right back as soon as I can, you know? And this comes first in my life. You know, I actually got a crew out today doing my job for me. You know, this comes first. When you're asked to do something, you should do it. Now, you know, I went through the, you know, and I was, you know, in the H&M, going through all the female lists. I got the females, Lewis got the males. I'm calling some of these girls, don't even know who the hell I am in CA. You know? This is Dan with CA, can you give me a call back? And, you know, and I'm like, hey, I'm not 13 stepping, just so you know, I need service work. Yeah. Okay, I need women. We're struggling on Tuesday nights, so I really need help, really need help, really help. And you're like, you know, if I'm asked, I'm going to do something. You know? Wow. Because it's a fact, guys. I do have a 10-year-old daughter due to 13-stepping in the program, guys. You know? And I was guilty of it. But I have a 10-year-old daughter now, a beautiful daughter. But it didn't make it right. You know? It did not make it right. And that's where I'm a firm believer on. I'm a very firm believer in give us a chance, men and women, to get some time. Get some hope, some courage, because we're beat down when we get here. We don't need a man or a woman hugging all over us. We get that shit out of a bar at a crack house, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't need that. And I wish more men would step up and say stuff, because it's, and women. Women take it, women take men, you know? Mm-hmm. But I wish more people would step up, you know? Because sometimes I feel like I'm like one of the only ones, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's very important, guys. Believe it or not, me and Dwayne were just talking outside. Men, we don't realize we're doing a whole lot of wrong. It's because we were taught wrong. You know? It's because we were taught wrong. But now we teach each other how to be men now and be respectful of women and of ourselves. And carry yourself with a little bit of dignity. You know? The last thing, especially a woman needs that comes in, is a bunch of guys hawking over her and looking at her like a piece of meat, because she doesn't deserve that. She has every right to be here just like us men. That's very important. And those are the things that, you know, those are the things that we have to teach one another. That's instilled with me with guys with 35, 40 years. I remember Big Carl, stay the fuck away from our women. I remember that. Just like yesterday. Okay, dude. You know? Okay. That's one of the first things that he would always tell newcomers. And people didn't understand, but I know why now. you know? And those are the things that we have to teach one another, the values of recovery. Give everybody a fair chance. And not everybody's going to make it, we know that, but at least give them a chance. You know, how many, I bet you if I have somebody raise their hand, or how many people know that somebody went back out using due to a bad relationship? Raise your hand. Exactly. Sad. I know this is a kind of a lecture, but it has to be said. Because maybe you guys go out and spread it to one person, they'll go tell another person. And we got to get back to the basics, because recovery has gotten soft. It needs to get back to being, I need to be told what to do. Don't give me a decision, because I'm going to make the easiest one. You know? When somebody tells me to do something, I'm going to go do it. And that's what we need. You know? It's probably long enough. Guys, there is so much more. Work those 12 steps. Get a sponsor. You guys know the whole spiel. But live the program. Just don't talk it. Walk it. You know? And before I go, it's my favorite saying every time I speak. Every time I used, I wasn't in trouble. Every time I was in trouble, I was using. Remember that. Thank you, guys.